2 weeks. The Father's Day message will easily go 3 weeks. Yeah. As I started speaking to the gentleman last week, you got an idea of how it is when I'm just with the guys. We have mixed company here, and I'm really not tempering much of my way of talking to simply men when it comes to talking about guys straight face to face, man to man. What we started looking at last week, the Holy Spirit really prompted, I believe, to put this on my heart. Not so I could speak into lives of guys and try to point out what is obviously weaknesses, generally speaking, in men's lives in the church across America, but you have to understand that the passages of Scripture that have been pointed out to me in my study, I had to use them like a mirror. I had to look into them myself. And I had to say, much of that time, I didn't enjoy looking into the mirror of the Word of God. He's a loving Heavenly Father, as you know. But He loves us too much, gentlemen, to leave us where we are. All of us need to continue to grow in Christ. Every single one of us, gentlemen. Now, ladies, this is the Word of God, so what is revealed here is for you as well. But my focus is on fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, uncles. This is my focus. Where my energy goes, or where my focus goes, my energy flows. So it's going to be with regard to fellas. And I don't believe I'm going to pull any punches. I'm not going to try to make what the Lord has said softer. Guys can handle this. Guys understand when another man who loves him comes to him and speaks the truth in love to him, he can receive that because he knows he's not being judged. I have no right to be a judge of anybody. But I do have the right and the authority given to me as a minister of the gospel of Christ to cut the word of God straight and not to water it down. So, fellas, we're going to go back to the kind of man your kids need. And along with that, fellas, the kind of husband your wife needs as well. I was looking yesterday in the midst of my prayer and preparation for this morning in the book of Proverbs. Great, great book. Proverbs 9 and verse 9, it says, "Instruct the wise and they will be even wiser." So, gentlemen, I come to you this morning in faith, believing in our Lord Jesus Christ, and with faith, believing that you are men of God, you have been born again, and that you have His wisdom. And He says, "Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous," He says, "and they will learn even more." So, gentlemen, you exchanged your unrighteousness for Jesus' righteousness. You are men of righteousness, and you will learn more. We will not be those men that sit like up in the bleachers eating their Dodger dogs and drinking their Coca-Cola and calling for the peanut guy to see if he can throw those peanuts to us 5 rows up. We have left the bleachers. We're down on the field now, fellas. And we're listening to the Holy Spirit call the plays. We're getting in the game. GHCC's men are going to grow into being stronger men of God. That is the call upon my life, gentlemen, to see that all of us are growing as I am growing. So back to our text. You can see there on page 1, very quickly, the first thing that our kids need from us, gentlemen, The first thing that our wives will appreciate in us is a mighty faithful man of Jesus cares. He cares about others. And we looked at three simple verses, pregnant verses here, in the letter that Paul wrote to the Roman church. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that we, fellas, again, it's for all of us, but I'm looking to you. He's saying, gentlemen, you are to love one another with brotherly affection. That's all the people that come into our sphere. We are to love them with Philadelphia love. We are to love them with affection, feelings, gentlemen. We are to be loving them with kindliness, gentleness. They are to know that they are genuinely loved. Do your children know that Philadelphia love in your home? Is your wife aware of it? Is she appreciating what you are giving her? He goes on there in verse 10 and he says to Progegomai, outdo one another in showing love. In other words, lead the way by example in showing honor to others. You are to be like a sprinter in a race. And if you're a sprinter, there isn't a muscle that you aren't straining to get to the goal. He says, we are to outdo one another in showing timis. In other words, we are to be showing respect, we are to be showing esteem, and we are to be considering others better than ourselves. But I'm asking you, fellas, is this the way your sons and your daughters, whether they be little or adult, do they feel like you are pursuing to show them this kind of respect and esteem? Does your girl feel that way, your wife? He moves on to verse 11 here and he says, do not be slothful in zeal. He says, in other words, don't hesitate, don't slow down, don't delay. In what? In being fervent. The word, again, reminds us of being boiling. What's boiling? With passion to be in service to our Lord. Is this you, Dad? Granddad? Are you really passionate about serving the Lord? And do your kids see it? Verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in Jesus. Gentlemen, have you been in Peter's first letter recently? Chapter 2. Guys, I want you to grasp this. The Lord wants you to own this, fellas. He says that you are a prized possession. You. Yeah, you. I got word that somebody gave back their Father's Day gift last week because they didn't feel that they deserved it. I hope that fellow's here and you pick up that gift again. None of us deserve anything other than damnation and hell. None of us. But we have been graciously given the grace of God upon our lives. And we responded to that at some point. And we receive Jesus into our lives as our master and our savior. But some of us have gotten very lax in that. We've been taking him for granted. We've been living in the flesh, if we're honest, and not living in the spirit. So now we're being called, let's get back in the spirit, because we are prized possessions of Abba Father. Prized possessions. We've been set apart for him to use. You are special. Out of all the men on the face of this earth, he selected you fellas to be his and to use and to bring him honor and glory. And he goes on in this passage in chapter 2 and he says, you are priests. You are priests of the Most High God. You are there for your family. You are there for people in general. You are to share him with others And then he goes on and he said he's taken you as that prized possession that he wants to use exclusively for himself as a high priest, and he's put you in this nation, a holy nation, a nation, not America, but a holy nation made up of his special guys and girls. And he wants to do fabulous things because those things can happen in and through you. We looked at verse 13 and it says to contribute to the needs of the saints and to seek to give people hospitality. We learned this already in Acts chapter 2. We are to be those people that are looking after the needs of the saints. There was nobody in this church that was growing by the thousands that had a need. The Holy Spirit saw to everyone's needs, not greeds, needs being met by everyone else in the church. He called the church together and they graciously gave. People sold property. Some people lied about the amount they got for the property. That was stupid. But they sold property so that they could meet the needs of other people. We need to be sensitive to the people at GHCC, the saints in the church. And if there's needs, we need to see if we can take care of it. Well, Ron, that means I may have to go into my savings account. Why do you think he gave you the extra money? Contribute to the needs of the saints. Do your kids see you going out and helping other people, making yourself available to other people? And if you can't meet the whole need, you know, maybe you can ask the Seidel family to come alongside, and maybe the two of us can come alongside and help. Or maybe the two of us can't. We have to ask the Sarabi family to come alongside, and maybe the three of us can do something about it. But let's stop being the hoarders like the American church is across America. What's mine is mine. No, it's not. Never was yours. It belongs to him. And before you spend any of it, Lord, is this something you want me to spend it on? Do your kids see the fruit of the Spirit in you, like the very first thing, agape love? Does your little boy dad know that you seek other people's best and greater good at your expense? Does he understand that because he's put you in this private Christian school, he doesn't have all of this extra money to be in his retirement account one day? Does he understand that you're seeking your sons and your daughters and your wife's best and highest good at your expense? Because that's the way you operate. You not only have this wonderful, tender, affectionate love, Philadelphia, but you've got this other love that's attached to it. And we see how it comes about here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 last week. He told us that we are to walk in love, peripateo. We are to literally live out this love, this agape love, seeking others' best and highest good. And when we do that, it'll smell like the most wonderful aftershave that is being lifted up to our Heavenly Father. Because he makes it clear that Jesus gave himself up. That's the kind of love, sacrifice. And it was a fragrant offering, a fragrant offering to his Father. And so it is when you do this, gentlemen. It is a fragrant offering to him, and he understands it comes at a sacrifice. Paul describes there on page 2 of your notes, Timothy like this in Philippians 2, verses 20 through 21. He says, for I have no one like him. I have no one like Timothy. What does that mean? Timothy is a caring guy. I have no one like him who's genuinely concerned for your welfare, concerned for the Philippian church family, genuinely concerned for it. Because you see, Timothy is one of these mighty, faithful Jesus followers. Verse 21 says, "For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." You know, this me generation is nothing new. It was there in the first century as well. Seeking their own before anybody else. You know, Timothy was unselfish because he put Paul's needs before his own. We remember that Paul is in prison. He's waiting for this pervert, this bisexual monster who is emperor of the Roman Empire, Nero, to decide whether he's going to lop off his head or not for sharing the love of God with people. We live in this goofy world right now. It's filled with advertisements and videos and TV shows and songs and video games that teach us to just be all about you, me. Self-centered. You should look out for number one. Society doesn't teach you to think about other people. Now you might say, but Ron, you know, when we have a massive hurricane, you know, down in Florida and so forth, I mean, we come together, you know, we send our little $10 gift to help out those people in Louisiana. You know, when a tornado hits, you know, people pull together. And yeah, you know, that's true. But you know, there's 330 million people in America, and we're talking about a few hundred to maybe a few thousand at best that come together that aren't being called to go do these things by the federal government. You can't be mighty, faithful men of Jesus until you take your attention off yourself and to truly learn to care about other people's needs. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit tells Paul, hey, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same agape, that same seeking the other person's best and highest good at a sacrifice. Being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing, he says, from selfish ambition. Do nothing from self-promotion. Do nothing from selfishness. What is it that I keep missing about that? What is it that the church kind of just rebels or repels us in some way? That's the flesh. You see, it doesn't want anything to do with that. The flesh wants to be out there. The flesh wants to be recognized. I need a trophy for putting up with you people for 35 years. You need a trophy for putting me up with me for 35 years. There's Mary's laugh that we were just told about. Is that a Tennessee laugh? That's okay. There'll be church discipline later. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, in lowliness. Dads, in lowliness. Stepdads, in lowliness, count others more than significant than yourself. Is that the way your kids feel? That you count them more significant than you? Lowliness means, as it says here, humility. Count others more significant than yourself. Worthy, make them worthy so that they consider themselves more important than you. Gentlemen, if you would, I'd like you to write down Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Just write that down, and then I'm going to say what it says by changing one word, and then I'm going to ask you to say it with me, all of you, okay? The verse says, we are to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, but I've changed it to say, I am strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Okay? Not in your flesh, in the Lord. I am strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Let's say that together. I am strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Again, I am strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. You see, there is an emphasis here. I am strong not in my strength, but his. I am strong not in me, but in him. I am strong, gentlemen, in the Lord and the strength of his might. I can be a very caring, supernaturally caring man because I'm strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Number two, a mighty faithful man of Jesus is not only caring about others, but is consistent. He is consistent. He is steady. He is dependable. You know, we don't just need men in our church to serve for 1 year doing a particular area of ministry. You know, I'm just going to do being an usher 1 year. I'm going to just be a greeter 1 year. The fact of the matter, we can use ushers and greeters. Talk to Tommy. Tommy will embrace you. The majority of our greeters and our ushers, fellas, do you know who they are? They're girls. We put out a call for people to come forward to take responsible roles, and the first people in line are girls, godly women. Why aren't you? Why aren't you? We need men that are really ready to step up to the plate, to be teachers in the children's department. Be nice if little boys saw a man standing up there. He might identify a little bit more with a man. I'm not putting ladies down. Praise you for being there. My wife is a teacher. A wonderful one at that. We need consistent, reliable servants, men that get into the game. Ron, I'm tired. Well, you want to start a tired club? I'll be president. You'll have to go some to get tired beyond me. But we can compare notes. And if you work harder than I do and more hours than I do, I'll let you be president. Men need to be consistent in being loving, sacrificial, fathers and husbands, to be examples to our little boys and little girls. And if we miss the mark and now our kids are all adults, there's no time like the present. The one tell them, you know, I failed you in this area. But the thing is, I want you to understand, Jesus forgave me. Jesus still loves me. And I want to make it up to him, and I want to make it up to you too. If you teach your wife harshly, your children, you speak in an abusive way, using language is really, you know, it's out of line. You need to ask yourself, what am I teaching my sons and my daughters? And can my wife respect such a man? Men, we need to actively exhibit the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. If they're there, they can come forth. that calls for a relationship that is really intimate with the Holy Spirit, a genuine relationship with Him. In doing this, we can call upon the help of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be able to be caring, consistent, mighty, faithful men of Jesus. As you look at your notes, Paul described Timothy as someone who had proved himself. Fellas, have you proved yourself to be a trustworthy, faithful man of Jesus? Philippians 2:22. But you know Timothy's proven worth. How do they know his proven worth? They've observed it. They've seen it in the man. He has lived it out. You know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served me in the gospel. And Timothy was not Paul's son. He was his son in the faith. Kind of like Susan. By the way, Susan made it to India with the boys safely after 35 hours. A couple of glitches on the way. Susan adopted me soon after they arrived here on campus. I am her here daddy. And what an awesome privilege that is. I have two wonderful daughters. And now I have a third one. The Holy Spirit, as you look at your notes, reveals in His Word, trustworthy men are rare. Are rare. But you can do all things through Him, gentlemen, who strengthens you. If you're born again, you can do all things through Him who strengthens you. You can be the dad you want to be. You can be that husband you want to be, because you can do all these things, because Jesus wants to see you do these things, and He will assist you if you will call upon Him, because you can do all things through Him who strengthens you. Say that with me. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Again, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Tell the person next to you, you can do all things through Him who strengthens you. Read with me aloud the next passage, Proverbs 20, verse 6. Let's read this together. And let's do it a little bit better than our quoting scripture out loud, okay? Let's put some strength in here. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Bear in mind, we're looking at this, you know, faithful men, they're rare. These guys that are pursuing to be like Jesus would want them to be for their kids and for their wives. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty. That's what steadfast means. Has said in the Hebrew means his own loyalty, his unfailing love. He proclaims it. You know, we have all these professors of people who are Christians, but they don't possess the Holy Spirit. So they're still dead in their trespasses and sins. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Faithfulness is missing so strongly in the church, where it should be one of the strongest attributes we see. Core value teams. We're going to go out on Friday. We're going to be at Pettit Park. We're going to then take... All we're going to do is put... flyers in people's hands. We're going to hand it to them to invite them to a wonderful, next week begins this vacation Bible school. And we have 500 not show up. We have 2 show up. I just ask you, what were you doing Friday night that had eternal value? Mighty faithful men of Jesus keep their word and have deep convictions. We have lots of opinions floating around out there, don't we? There are opinion pages in all the newspapers. You turn on cable news, every cable news station, you got opinions. You don't have any news, but you got opinions. Lots of opinions. An opinion is something, you know, you can argue about. A conviction is something you'll die for. Mighty faithful men of Jesus who are consistent and dependable and caring had convictions that they will die for. This is the kind of man our children need. This is the kind of father our children need. And these are the kind of men our church needs more of. Men, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, because you can do all these things through Jesus, who will strengthen you. Be strong in the Lord, fellas, in the strength of his might. Let's give up the flesh strength. Let's give up all the things that it's magnetized to and calls us away from those things that have eternal value. Let's see ourselves down on the field, listening to the plays that the Holy Spirit's calling. Let's invite him to be radical in our lives, that we might be mighty men of Jesus. Well, number 3, a mighty faithful man of Jesus is going to be here next week so we can fill in this blank. Fellas, I understand that I've probably never really spoken to you like this. But trust me, I've had to live with this and I'm still living with it most every day of my life. I'm not asking you for anything that you can't do. Our Holy Spirit has made it clear you can. He has made it clear that the ability to do the things that you have heard, preached, spoken, taught from this pulpit, these things you are capable of. Every single one of them. There isn't a one of the things that have been mentioned this morning you are incapable of if you're in Christ one, because he will help you when you make yourself available. One of the things I appreciate and one of the things I don't appreciate about the Holy Spirit, he's a gentleman, and he has ever yet to come and twist my arm. He loves me. Jesus has demonstrated his love for each of us. How about if we get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit reveal in us, our spirit, that fruit that loves on the Lord and benefits our children and our wives and the people around us. I know in my spirit this is what you want. But we have to fight that flesh. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Abba, Again, we thank you for loving us so much, and you've brought some of us quite far from the world in which we bathed ourselves to the family that you adopted us into, and we're becoming more and more like your son. I believe it is each of our prayer that we want to continue to grow in the necessary graces with the knowledge that you are revealing to us, so that we might be the men and women and boys and girls that you want us to be. So may your Holy Spirit continue to be operative like our conscience, to bring things to mind that we might be faithful to return to our message notes, that we may find ourselves going back online and listening to the message over again, or even purchasing a CD. Because, Father, I believe it is our end goal that we want to be pleasing first and foremost to you. We want our children to see in us a biblical example of a great dad in Christ. And we want our wives to love and respect us. So please, my Lord, may your word continue to come forth and show you how we are being transformed to be more and more conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.